Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
As Neil was just saying, a quick introduction to myself. I work for public relations agency Weber Shandwick, world's largest and world's most awarded. It's a nice boast, but the reason to tell you that is we've got vast experience spanning the globe. We work in about 125 different markets. One of my specialisms, sorry, I need to talk into the microphone. I've been told to stand still as well. One of my specialisms is education. I've worked with a variety of education providers, ranging from online through to further education, vocational colleges and business schools, and I currently work with Kate at Manchester Business School and have done for the last 5 years. So, in Neil's notes for today's seminar is reputation. And I've sat in numerous planning meetings with, I say, variety of education providers, and we're back around this dilemma of, do we trade off our business school? Do we trade off the university's reputation or the rankings? And in some cases, the city reputation. But what I wanted to point out today is that's not really the dilemma. Looking at that dilemma is almost a bit of the old cliche of you're trying to run before you can actually walk. The actual dilemma is understanding what your audience wants from your brand, how they piece together your reputation. And the reason I say that, well, there's two, is marketing and advertising. First off, Times Higher Education has recently told us business schools have increased advertising spend by about 23%. And the reason they're doing that is to address the recruitment challenge. But we're all trading off reputation. We're all bombarding audiences with this reputation message, and say whether it's university or school. So that risks creating this white noise. And you can see from some of the examples I've pulled there, it's not just print advertising anymore. You've got universities, you've got business schools advertising on the side of taxis as well. So the audience, the prospective student, is constantly being bombarded. So you risk creating that, well, you miss creating standout, basically. And secondly, is connectivity. I believe you covered social media, you covered digital communications throughout the two-day conference. Well, connectivity is leading to audiences questioning reputations and brand much more now. And rather than just looking at the top-line reputation and thinking that's a great institution, I should go and study there, they're actually delving down more into what matters to them. And that becomes even more prevalent when you consider you've got 85% of the world connected to the internet now, and they're, say, rooting out the information they need, and that's only going to get more intense as more and more people start to use mobile and smartphones and tablets as applications as well. I read a stat the other day, something like 93% of the world are mobile subscribers now, and they're starting to say, receive information through these devices much more. And then even more important than that is social media. We found this in some of the studies we've done for Manchester Business School and the other research we've looked at, is we're finding people are using these platforms to not only just discuss brands, but interact with brands and receive information for them as well. And something, I mean, this varies from market to market, but in general, it's about one in four of us globally that are using social media now as well. So putting that into context, it's no longer about the reputation you're building or the reputation you're trying to market. It's about how your audience is actually piecing together your reputation. No, you know, long gone are the days when you talk about this is what my company stands for, this is what my business school stands for, this is what I want you to believe in it. It's more about understanding the blocks that the audience is using to piece together your reputation. And I say that's more, even more important now because of social media. People are sort of dissecting brands even more and sort of gathering the information and the reputational beliefs that they want. So with that in mind, we work to create context. We look at, first off, the market. I've just pulled a snapshot of some of the research we've done into China recently, and some of the key elements that we look at to understand where the brand sits, where the reputation sits, is first off is unemployment rates. So is there an appetite for further education? Do people feel confident enough to go and spend their money or the business's money on studying? Now, China, we know unemployment rate is currently 4.10%. Over the last decade, that's dropped by about 0.2 percentage points, and we're seeing confidence returning to the market. So it suggests to us, again, there's a good chance to market to prospective students. We look at where employment's being driven. So again, almost a third of employment in China is in the services sector. So even though there's an appetite for people to better their skills in that particular area. And then from there, we look at international students and where they're travelling to. Now, China was ranked as the third most popular country internationally for students. Asia, in particular, we've seen foreign enrolment double at places like Indonesia, And for that reason, we know where people are travelling to and can understand why they're travelling there as well, and start to understand, you know, is it the reputation in the actual school, the academics, is it the reputation of the cities and so on. Then we'll look at the education market and how we can create a point of difference, and again, what matters to students within those markets. So what schools are there, what messages are they sending out, what fees are the students paying, what do the accreditations mean? Professor Chris Hollibert, you just talked about the accreditations there, and they're often, they can be perceived in a number of different ways, and again, how much do they actually matter to the students? And then finally, this is one we found that's become really more important recently, and this is some of the research we've done has uncovered this, is the technology. Students making decisions based upon the learning environment and whether or not they've got iPads to interact with their academics, whether their academics are available 24/7 online, how much of the learning's classroom-based. And this will really influence decisions of where to study as opposed to just the top-line reputation that school once may have traded on. And then from there, we'll look at what matters to the students. And I'll show some examples of this in a second. Their motivators, what do they want from the institution? Is it social? Do they want a social scene to culturally enrich themselves as well as academically furthering themselves? What are the career opportunities that come from studying at a certain school? Where is it based in relation to their family or where, you know, where they come from? And then, again, technology is a big one within there. Really importantly, we look at the channels, how are those students interacting now with the business schools, with different brands as well. What are their expectations and, importantly, how do they interact as well? We often find that we have to take a multi-channel view, and sort of show you that example of advertising on a taxi. A lot of the work we do now spans social media, we've got events, we've got traditional public relations. It really is multi-channel depending on where we find our audiences. And then, really importantly, where is the audience in terms of their procurement decision, their purchase decision, if you like? Because they've got their own dilemmas to consider. A lot of the research we did, we were looking at dilemmas around their family, their disposable incomes, their careers. And understanding that shapes the message that we're pushing out to these audiences. So how do we do that? Well, we've worked with experts around the world to understand what drives engagement. And we've covered these three areas that sort of shape thinking, they shape how the brain functions. And these are experts that are from Copenhagen Business School, Harvard Business School, and then it was the University of Marseille. So we work with them to actually talk about brand engagement. We spent considerable time and we devised 19 elements. So these are 19 factors that map how we interact with a brand, and they range from, we've got the top corner, access, and that looks at how easy it is for the brain to get to the information it wants. The more barriers that you present, sounds obvious, but the less inclined the brain is to actually break those barriers down and receive the message you're trying to push out. And that could be something as simple as how easy a message is to understand in an advert, or how many times it takes to click on a website to get through to what the brain is looking for. Middle row, herd behaviour, you might be familiar with, I'm sure you are. That goes back to being cave people. You're wired, you're sat in your cave, you see the herd running past, you think it's either running from danger or it's running to food. You leg it after that herd. Obviously, we've evolved massively since then, but the notion of popular still exists. And again, more importantly, when we start to look at social media, if you see hundreds, thousands, millions of people talking about a brand in a positive light, you're going to be more inclined to favour that brand. I'll just pick out one last one, and respect is quite important as well, and this goes back to sort of trading off universities and so on, but we found a lot of the research, some of the legal industries where students were going on to study professional services, that they got respect from the school that they studied at, and it helped with their employment as well. So again, another factor to consider. So from that, so we sat down. We sat down with students from across the world. I've picked out just China and Dubai. And we were saying to them, what matters to you? How should we literally sell our services to you? And what we found with some of the Chinese nationals was they were really interested in course content. They wanted to know down to exact detail of what could they learn. That was really going to influence where they were going to study. They were telling us, again, technology, massively important to them. They wanted to know they're going to an institution that had the latest smart gadgets, the latest interactive learning, just because it had aided their experiences. And then corporate partnerships was big for them as well. They saw the businesses that an academic institution aligned itself with being a stamp of authority, a stamp of endorsement. Dubai, massive on face-to-face interactions, and what they were really interested in was not just what the school stood for, but who was delivering their course content. They wanted to know that the academics they were going to be learning from were credible, really, really key for them. Corporate partnerships, as just mentioned, but then also business experience. They saw their business school as a direct step into their future employment. They thought if they could get hands-on learning experience, it would lead to a job post-graduation, once you finish studying. So it wasn't just about what's the reputation of the school, it's breaking it down much further. And other nationalities we surveyed, we mapped against the sites of engagement, we found something as basic as transport links. If we're looking at students flying into perhaps Manchester or to London, they wanted to know that they could travel really quite easily, and that was going to shape their decisions. City reputation, self-explanatory, but again, things like living costs and employment opportunities. These were the things that the audience were thinking about when considering their decision of where to study. And from there, just to sort of mention social media already and the growing popularity of it, the next sort of 2 to 3 years, you'll see the biggest boom in social media in the Asia region. It's due to grow something like 196%. It's massive over there. So what we do is we constantly monitor social media. We're trying to understand what conversations are taking place to look at the interaction between the school and the user. And we do that, we've got what we call buzz monitoring software. So we can literally tap in and stalk people, if you like, but understand how they're what they're saying about the schools we represent or the schools schools they may want to study at. There's the likes of Facebook give you loads and loads of insights and analytics which you can draw upon again to find out what matters to people. And then literally we've got a team that trawls through social media again, just looking at what people are doing online. So say if you can understand that, you can be relevant. So again, some of the research, I've just picked out three countries, Brazil, very, very one way in terms of their interaction with business schools, which really surprised me, to be quite honest. They see them as just literally generators of news. So they'll subscribe to a Twitter feed or a Facebook page or a LinkedIn, and all they want is information from the school, but they won't interact with that school, so they're not going to reply to that. They just see it as a one-way flow of information. Within Russia, proliferation of professional networks. So going beyond the social platforms you're familiar with, but the students going onto these platforms and talking about how to complete entry exams, how to complete visas and so on, they're actually sharing practical advice on that as they move around the world. And as they do that, they're building all these personal connections. So it's understanding that from there, you've got to be a bit more friendly in your approach in terms of the information and value you provide. And then just finally in China, blogging is absolutely huge. And not just from a student point of view, but from an academic point of view as well. And a lot of student academic interactions are taking place over blogs. And they're sharing their course content and the information they're receiving as they're learning. And so that goes back to presentation, study sharing. And again, they build up these personal interactions. And sort of the academic relationship was really important in terms of where they were going to study. So in summary, it's a case of, I say, creating understanding about what your audience wants. It's no longer just about the reputation you're trying to promote. It's how that audience is piecing it together, because if you can get that, you can connect with the audience, which will lead to engagement. So to do that, it's literally what matters most to them, what are they thinking about, day in, not just from the sort of professional, but the personal lives as well. How does it fit in the market? So what are your competitor schools doing? What messages are they pushing out? And then finally, how you can connect, and that's even, say, more important now. So it's no longer just about your brochures, and in some cases, some of the research that we did, people were telling us the printed brochure was no good to them. It was full of fluffy marketing speak. Not interested in that. They just wanted to get through to the hard facts, and they found that on social media from other users. So that's it in essence, really. I say the dilemma is not about how you trade, it's how your audience perceives you.
Okay.